Okay, so we're going to start off with kind of a short little testimony first. I watched a movie last night. I love really good writing with movies. Okay, you need a chick flick. As long as it's got really good writing. So I enjoy it. Oh, look at this. How is this? And I saw a movie last night. It's called Deja Vu. Really good movie with Denzel Washington. But there's something about the movie that I'd never understood until I watched it again last night. I don't think it was a coincidence. Actually, now I watch a movie and I divide it into three parts before I go to bed. But in the beginning of the movie, Deja Vu, they're looking into the past, 4 days. They have invented a time machine. And Denzel Washington, they're watching people's lives and what's happening. And they'll get one shot, and then the glimpse disappears. So they're not even quite sure what they have. And Denzel Washington goes, "What are you talking about?" And these physicists are explaining to him, actually, the past is right here. It exists. The past exists. And Denzel goes, "If it exists, why can't I see it?" And the guy goes, "Well, see, what we're actually doing is, this has been on several movies, wormholes, stuff like this. And see, past is linear. Here's where we are. Here's our past, or here's the future. And what a time machine would do is it folds it. If you can do, Einstein called it a wormhole." And they're explaining this to him, and he's sitting there, and it's not too hard to convince him because he's actually looking at the past. He's seeing it. And then he goes, "So the past is actually right there, and it's happening?" And he goes, "Yeah." And then Denzel Washington goes, "Well, how come I can't see it?" And then that's what the physicist said. It's just like radio waves. It's just like cell phone waves. You just can't see it. What you need is something to tap into these invisible things. This whole room right now is filled with AM radio waves, FM radio waves, cell phone, Wi-Fi. There's invisible matrices of electricity and things floating through us. There's neurons, electrons. All these things are going on. Well, how come I can't see it? You usually have to have something to tap into the invisible and the supernatural. So this movie was, by accident, they invented something which required lots of energy, and it just gave them the opportunity to observe where something already was. Is it kind of neat? Neat writing like that? So, okay. Now you're up. It says today is, we're celebrating Elijah's 13th birthday. His younger brother is going to assist him. And so what he's putting on now, which is neat, we're talking about the unseen world. You go ahead, you can play and talk, and just not really loud. What are you seeing? What do you see?
Hunting.
Okay, be more descriptive. We'll have to have Elijah or Isaiah do it. Okay, what's going on? What do you see?
There's deer hunter up there. It says words I can see.
Okay, start hunting. Go ahead and start hunting.
Okay.
And so as he puts on a virtual reality, he goes into a whole other realm. Now, that is synthetic. But through the word, there are things just like this. There's at one point, I think it was the king of Assyria, the prophet is, he goes, I'm gonna get Yahweh's people, I'm gonna have this plan, I'm gonna wipe them all out with this booby trap. Ah, we got this good booby trap. And then before the booby trap happens, the people of Israel turn around and walk away. And he's like, God, they didn't walk into the trap. So then he set up another trap. Ah, we'll get them over here. He got this booby trap. And then here comes Israel's people. They're getting ready to walk into it. Then they go, whoop. They start looking around. They go, ah, it's a trap. They turn around and walk off. And then and here's the king trying to wipe out Yahweh's people. And it happens like 3 times. And finally, the king goes, would somebody please tell me who is the spy in here? Who is for Israel? And then the people, after he humbled himself, said, oh, great king, they have a prophet. What was the name of the prophet?
Elijah.
And not only does he know the plans, he knows what you're saying in your bedroom. He does? What was happening in that guy's bedroom? I don't know. But, so what does this guy think? Ah, let's kill the prophet. Oh, now he's going to get a plan to kill the prophet. Anyways, here comes the king, and here's the assistant to the prophet. There's the assistant to the prophet know what's happening? What are you doing now, Eli?
I'm just upgrading my gun. I just finished killing a bighorn sheep.
Okay, cool.
And ducks.
Nice. It's nice doing teaching where you get to play video games, right? Anyways, the assistant comes out. He knows that his boss is ticking off. Like, here's Al-Qaeda. Here's ISIS. And all of a sudden, he goes, oh, man. And he looks up. He goes, like John Lennon type. He goes, we're not going to get the morning paper. And he looks up. And the whole town's surrounded with chariots of, like, ISIS soldiers. He goes, oh, boy. We're caught, right? So he goes to the prophet, and he goes, prophet, we got bad news. And the prophet comes out, and he sees all these chariots about ready to wipe them out. And the chariot back then is, like, equivalent to our, like, tanks.
Yeah.
And what does the prophet do? He goes, oh, Yahweh, open his eyes so he can see. So here's the assistant. He opens his eyes, and what does he see? He sees chariots of fire have surrounded all the rest of these guys. Was it always there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yahweh gave him a virtual reality to look into it. Yahweh's got it. Yeah. And then the rest of the story, you look into it. It's hilarious. It's hilarious. The prophet goes, come up, what are you guys looking for? The prophet, they got wanted. Kill Elijah. Do you think any one of these guys would love to kill Elijah? Do you think that would really excel their military career with their king? I got him. I got a boss. Here's his head. He goes, what are you guys looking for? They go, we're looking for Elijah. He goes, oh, okay. He's not here. Follow me. I'll show you. Can you imagine his assistant going, oh. So he blinds them, and here they come walking. They follow this guy. And they're blinded. They don't even know where they're going until they walk right into Israel's kingdom, and they're surrounded by all of Israel. And here's the Assyrians. I think it was the Assyrians. They didn't know they were surrounded. Finally, Elijah goes, okay, turn the lights on. They turn on the lights, and they're like, ooh, they're surrounded by all these people. And so it's an invisible world. So if Yahweh had chariots back then, what does he have now? Stealth fighters?
Yeah.
SR-71 Blackbird? I don't know. If there's invisible chariots, were there invisible horses?
Yeah.
I don't know. But there's a whole other universe around. There was 420 elders. There's an invisible universe. We are not the center of the universe.
Yeah. That is what we think.
We're like a speck of dust, and there's billions and trillions or whatever things going on. We have no idea. And so every once in a while, we're going to feel like we can't handle this. But Elijah right now is tapping into the unseen world. Now we're going to turn to Genesis chapter 37. You can take it off now. Isaiah, you can put it on for a second since you helped. Okay, you turn to Genesis chapter 37. I don't have a page number.
69.
But wouldn't it be neat if you could put on a virtual reality to see into your future?
Yeah.
Hey, look at this. Wouldn't it be neat to back to the future? You go into the future, you go, hey, look how successful I am. Sweet. Wouldn't you be encouraged?
Mm-hmm.
You think so, right?
Mm-hmm.
You think that here I am, here's where the situation is. If I just knew how this thing was going to work out, I'd be fine, right?
Mm-hmm.
For instance, sometimes when you're your age, you probably think, I got so much homework, this is the end of the world. And, so, and somebody, if you could come back in the future, go, Melania, everything works out fine, you get A's. Really? Great. So if you knew the future, it'd be easier, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we think. Genesis chapter 37. Does anybody have a page number there?
68.
Okay. Chapter 37, verse 18 and 19. The topic is Joseph. Here's Joseph. We're not looking at you, dude. Okay, that's a good idea. But isn't that neat? I believe that this is people. Actually, when people go into spiritual wickedness, I've been there. We start going blind, going to our own little universe, and all of a sudden people are looking at you going, what are you doing? I know what I'm doing. No, I don't think you know what you're doing. And if we're walking in light, as he's in light, you'll see people going, why are you doing that to yourself? You shut up. It's my life. Go do whatever you want. I've been there. So I've been the person, the fool. I'm living in a virtual reality. But here's Joseph. If Joseph could just see the future, everything would be really easy, right? So what happened? Joseph saw a dream. Did Yahweh tell him not to share the dream?
Mm-hmm.
No. What was the purpose of the dream?
To share.
Right. And if Yahweh would have told Joseph, there are times that Jesus Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration, he says, don't tell anybody. There are times where this is just specific for you, and he could be telling you this is specifically for you. And had that been the case with Joseph, once Joseph told people this dream, what would Yahweh have said? And Joseph did all that was right for Yahweh, except he told the dream that I told him not to tell. He did that with David, right? And David did all that was right for Yahweh, except for Uriah the Hittite's wife. So Yahweh had no problem. Who's writing the book? Yahweh's been narrating. And when somebody blows, he had no problem going, Aaron, or whatever. But verse 18 and 19, he tells the dream. He also brought in a bad report. Who here had brothers and sisters or family members? You're not real popular when you're telling somebody, are you? Verse 18 and 19, would somebody read that? Okay, go ahead.
And they saw him afar off, and yet he drew near upon them. They conspired against him to put him to death. And they said each man to his brother, lo, the master of dreams yonder coming in.
Who said this?
His brothers.
His brothers. Do you think that if Joseph, when he was given that dream, if he had a virtual reality to see what the future was, that he would tell people that dream after he saw this? Who's going to kill me?
My brother.
Who stood up for him? You called it out once. One brother.
Reuben.
Excellent. Yeah, and you did that probably 6 years ago when you were real little. One brother stood up for him, Reuben. That's it. Judah was in on it. Mm-hmm. Do you think Joseph would have been obedient if he saw the future? Mm-hmm. What else happens to Joseph? This bearer of dreams. He doesn't die. He is thrown into a pit by his brothers who tell his dad that he died. He is sold into slavery. He becomes a slave. Lost his family. Lost all his family. Would you quit serving your creator if that happened to you? Sometime we would. Why do you think Yahweh wrote all this?
We could
pep talks. You can do this. So what happens to him as a slave? The neat thing about Joseph's story is not no matter what happens, he always remembered that Yahweh was watching him. Because he said that when a woman tried to commit adultery with him, he goes, how can I sin against Elohim? So that's really, whenever we sin, we're not sinning against mom or dad or stealing from somebody. The first person we're really sinning against is our Creator. And Joseph was a good example. No matter what his circumstance was, he made Yahweh proud wherever he was. And guess what happened when he was a slave? He became in charge of everything. Who's his boss? Chief of the executioners. No pressure, right? Do you think your boss have any problem killing you?
Yeah.
That's like you being a sheep, and your boss is the butcher. Who's my boss? Oh, he's the butcher. He loves mutton. Oh, man, no pressure here, right? So who's his boss? Chief of the executioners. What does he do? He remembers Yahweh's watching him. No matter what he did, he prospered. And Yahweh made things prosper. He gained favor on him. What happens to him? He gets set up by the boss's wife who wants to have sex with him. Sin. And then he gets put into prison. What did he do? He fleed fornications. Every sin is outside the body except for fornication. My last teaching, we're talking about Uzzah touched the box of Ark of the Covenant and he died. Mm-hmm. Okay. He was warned. If I put my hand into the light socket, I'm going to die. Okay, Uzzah should have known. It wasn't just David. Uzzah should have read this. All of Israel should have read this. It wasn't just David. Didn't know that you don't touch this thing. And today, what I would have said, try to stay on track. But anyways, so what happens next? He goes into prison. Does he quit serving Yahweh there?
No.
No, he doesn't. What does he do? He works hardly into Yahweh, makes Yahweh proud. He remembers Yahweh's watching him. Yahweh will meet his needs. Did he lose all his family? Yes.
Yeah.
Can you imagine an Egyptian prison? Mm-hmm. What is this, 2000 BC? Moses was 1495, right around there, 1500 BC. 400 years before Moses. What do you think those prisons were like? He excelled through the ranks. Then what happened? He interpreted a dream. He says, don't forget me. Did the guy remember? No. What? How many years went by before Pharaoh, he got the recommendation from not the baker, but the cupbearer?
2 or 4.
2 years later. Would you serve? Have you ever been obedient and you helped somebody? And then you didn't get any fruit back, and you said, that's it! Last time I would prove anybody, I thought, when I would prove this person, you're going to give me some money or something. On vacation, something. 2 years later, did he quit? Didn't quit. Then what happens? They say, are you, you're Joseph? Before Joseph even goes to Pharaoh, he gets cleaned up. Is that self-respect? Did he go in there and mo, oh, look what happened to me, look at me, me, me? No. And he goes, are you Joseph? Can you interpret dreams? What does Joseph say? Same thing, here to give a prophecy. I know nothing about you. He goes, Elohim, Yahweh, the God of the Hebrews, he will interpret the dreams. The dreams belong to him. What happens? And when he bowed down just like this, Daniel did the same thing. And then the dream got interpreted. Guess what happened?
King the boss.
Who's in charge of everything?
Joseph.
He's at the right hand. And what? Look at this. You saved all of your family, including your family members. And who did he say? He saved his dad. He saved Judah. He said that Jesus Christ's grandfather. Is it pretty important that Judah lived?
Yeah.
Yeah, because the Redeemer, Genesis 3:15, was coming. And it worked out. Do you think that if Joseph would have saw all that through a time machine, that he would have said, let's do it? Do you think if then Yahweh would have told him the future, that would help Joseph be obedient?
No.
No, it wouldn't. No, not at all. Rotherham has an introduction that explains something my dad pointed out. Here's Rotherham. He goes, your job is not to get people to follow you. Your job is to follow Yahweh through Jesus Christ, through the written word first, then faith, obedience, and manifestations of the Spirit next. Deliver those messages, not with the nails. If people aren't following you, don't worry. Who was following Joseph, the dreamer of dreams? They murdered him. He didn't die, but he might as well have died. Had no followers, did he? How about as a slave, how many people followed him? Yeah, other people say he got sold up the river. Hey, didn't anybody vouch for this woman? Obviously, she's got a bad reputation. She's been trying to do this over and over and over again, and this time he was alone with her, which is another good reason. Single men and women shouldn't be alone or whatever. Why didn't somebody speak up on him? Nobody did. Did he have any followers then? No. How about in the prison? How many friends did he have in the prison? I don't see any. But who was with him? Yahweh was. Who rewarded him? Yahweh did. And so then the next one will be Exodus chapter 2. So sometimes we're going to read the word and we're going to see about something, and Christ inside us is going to tell you what you need to do, and also you're going to get a feeling, he's talking to you. You know what he's talking about. I know what you're talking about. You don't have to scream. Here it is. How many people have we been at in teaching? You hear somebody teaching, you know exactly what it means. And you don't need an interpreter. Yeah, because Yahweh communicates to his son. Here Jesus Christ puts his arm around your brain. Hey, listen, you know what he's talking about, right? Yes, I do. You got this. Oh, boy, here we go. But one of the first things we do is when he confirms what we need to do, one of the things that I let hold me back most of my life until I was probably 20 years old, I'm ashamed of, was people. What about these people? I'll lose all my friends. Who's going to take care of those people? I need to be at least halfway in the darkness, because then I'll minister to the people in the darkness. That's what I'll do. One foot in the darkness, one in the light. No, I'll minister to these people. That's not how it works. So my problem was people. I didn't want to leave people. I didn't want to lose people. I wanted people in my life. Moses chapter 2 verse 14. Moses, okay. Birthday boy, would you like to read, would you read that?
Exodus chapter 2, right?
Yeah.
Verse 14. Okay. And he said, who hath set thee for a chief and a judge over us to slay me? Art thou thinking, as thou didst slay the Egyptian? Then was Moses afraid and said, surely the thing is known.
No, that's good right there. So here's a little narrative. Joseph prophesies over Judah and all these things, and he tells them, there's going to be 400 years of captivity, they're going to be slaves, but a Redeemer's going to arise, right? Mm-hmm. And he's going to deliver them. And here's Moses. I got saved. Is Moses a righteous guy? Yeah, he's 40 years old. He intervenes with somebody to help them out, and in this case, the same Hebrew word, my dad pointed this out, is murdering. So here's with the Egyptians. So an Egyptian was murdering or killing a Hebrew, and Moses saved the guy's life, and the Egyptian died. Then he buried him. The next day, he sees two Hebrews fighting. He goes to try to help them. They go, Who are you? Did they vote him in? Oh, we've been waiting for you. We've been waiting for a redeemer. Moses thought he was a redeemer. They go, we know what you did. And are you going to kill us like you killed the Egyptian? And guess what else happened after this? Then it was made known unto Pharaoh. I guess he wanted to kill Moses. Who voted Moses to be their chief? Not any of his friends, not any of his peers. And we're looking at this going, what happened to Moses? Okay. Oh, golly. And Yahweh recorded those things for a reason. He recorded Moses going through that for a reason, right? Everything he recorded here is for our instruction to teach us. We got what it takes. And you're going to go, golly, here's Moses. He saved one Hebrew's life. Do you think Yahweh liked that? Absolutely. Yahweh wrote it down. What if Moses got a time machine, a virtual reality? You're going to go, okay, Moses, you know that feeling you might be the redeemer? Yeah, you are. Yes, I knew it was right. Okay, so Moses, like all of us, would you accept the job if I showed you the future? Absolutely. Okay, well, here's the end result. Oh, fantastic. Look, I saved everybody. Great. Now, here's what happens in between. What? Who's trying to kill me? Who? My sister Miriam said what? Oh, no. My nephews... was it Nadab and Abihu? I forget who they were. My nephews, Aaron, his older brother's nephews, did what? Who tried to... How many people are going to get swallowed by the earth? Oh, no, there's going to be orgies and stuff. All horrible things. Golden calves. Time out. Don't call me. I'll call you. Yeah, that's what he would have said. Do you think it would have helped Moses to know the future?
No.
Now, we look at Moses. You can look at any one of these stories, these difficult things that these people have been through. Yahweh knows what you're going through. We read it, and you're going to go, Joseph, after he saved his father's life, and before Joseph goes to sleep, he prophesies. What does that mean? It means he was a holy man. You can't prophesy unless Yahweh, you're holy. And he prophesies, and he says that then Joseph gets to say the line of the tribe of Judah, the seed of the woman that's going to return back to the Garden of Eden is going to come from you, Judah. Do you think Joseph liked to hear that? Would have melted in his whole heart. Do you think at the end, after he saved all these things, after all this, that he would undo it? No, absolutely not. He saved everybody. And then they look at his life and go, Joseph, look what you went through, man. And at the end of his life, he'd say, well, is it worth it? Guess what he'd say? Absolutely. Joseph, if somebody would have told you that your future, would you have done it? I don't want to know my future, man. I don't want to know those things. Let somebody else that can handle it know. I'm on a need-to-know basis. How about Moses? All these things are going to happen. Who's going to try to kill him? The Israelites? Wait a minute. The ones I'm going to save are going to want to go back and they're going to try to murder me? Okay. Hold on a second. The future wouldn't have helped Moses either. But at the end of Moses' life, would he regret any act of obedience? No. No, he's not. And I believe in paradise, Moses is going to get to check out your book, Lisette. And he's going to get to see you reading what Moses went through. And Yahweh is going to be teaching through Moses. Going, look, Moses, you didn't just save these Israelites, Moses. Look at Lisette's ministry. And in the new heaven and new earth, there's going to be billions and billions, or the biggest number we have is Google. Google's the people there, right? Mm-hmm. There's going to be all kinds of books we can check out and read. And Moses is going to read your book. And Yahweh's going to say, you see, Moses? I think big. Really big. Not just Israel. Here's Lisette. He's a Cuban. Coming to the United States. And she's going to be hearing about you, Moses. And Moses is going to be, what? Do you think he's going to be getting excited? Yeah, go. Joseph's going to be reading about you, reading about him. Daniel is going to be reading about you, reading about him. It's so much bigger than anything we could ever imagine. And as we look at the stories of Daniel, was Daniel voted in? No. They're trying to murder him. How many friends did Daniel have? Well, at the beginning we got, anyone? The Hebrew names?
Three.
Shadrach, Azariah,
Mikhail. But then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those are the Babylonian names. So it looks like he has a friend at first. What happens after that? I don't see any friend of Daniel. I don't see anybody sticking up for him. And when he goes out and prays in front of everybody, which was neat, why did Daniel pray in front of everybody? Where the scripture is silent, let us be silent. Who else was watching Daniel pray?
Yahweh.
And? The other Hebrews there taken captive. Were they doing what Daniel was doing? No. They're not going to do it. But then they watched Daniel do it, and then Yahweh goes, what's your excuse? Oh, man, he did it. Well, he's going to die. Well, look what's going to happen. And then he gets delivered. And so, not to pick on those people that didn't stand up, but our job is so much bigger than anything you can ever imagine. Your life matters. Every act of obedience matters. They came, who was it? Oh, yeah, Gideon. A messenger gets sent. A messenger would be the angels. And what does he say about Gideon? Basically, if you read it, it looks like he goes, Gideon, can I have your autograph? Mm-hmm. Gideon goes, what? Man, wrong address, dude. You're mighty man of valor. You're the guy. It's almost as if Yahweh and the messengers can see the future. Maybe they can handle it. I know Yahweh can see it. Maybe the messengers, and maybe he watched the movie. Can you imagine going back to George Washington and he's about ready to quit? George! So what if you lose your teeth? It's okay. Nobody even talks about your teeth. What we do talk about is bulletproof George Washington. Can you imagine if George Washington got your pep talk? It's worth it, man. Our lives matter. That act of obedience with Daniel mattered. Everything you do is being watched. Everything. And it's being documented, and it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be fantastic. And we will be famous. People will be watching your movie like I watched Deja Vu and go, look, think about this. Think about this. I used to always want to know the future until I started thinking this way. I don't want to know the future. Turn to Matthew 6:31. Thank you, Eli. So we look at Jesus Christ's life, you're gonna go, man, I watch the Passion of the Christ. And a lot of us are going, man, if I follow him, is that what's going to happen to me? And that's what I was thinking. That's just thinking so short term. Do you think Yehoshua regrets anything he did? No. What did he inherit? He's running everything, guys. He got rewarded for everything. And he remembered. Do you think he wanted to climb Calvary? I can imagine the demons pushing his mom down, anything to get him distracted. Can you imagine you see your mom get pushed down or something like that and you're trying to carry a cross if that were to happen? Why am I going to do this? He remembered who was watching. And Jesus Christ remembered, if I don't do this, who's going to wake up Moses? Who's going to wake up Jacob? Who's going to wake up Samson? Who's going to wake up all the people that are dust to dust, ashes to ashes, all the people that are sleeping? Remember David, it said they slept with their fathers, they're sleeping. Who's going to wake them up if I don't do it? And you can imagine Jesus Christ or Yahweh even during the 40 days of temptation going, here's a glimpse of Moses and all of your heroes woken up, coming to you, patting you on the back. Thanks for doing it. Can you imagine Jesus Christ going, I got to do it for them. I got to do this. And so was it hard? Absolutely. Was that the hardest? Right. Could anybody do what he did? Nope. But he is our example. And now you ask yourself this. Does he regret anything? Was it worth it to Jesus Christ?
No.
How about Peter? Was it worth it to Peter? Man! Then you feel the blank. What leader can you look at? And you look at their life going, golly, I don't know if I want that kind of persecution. I don't want to lose my family or my friends. I want to keep my family together or whatever. But he says, who is my brother? Who is my sister? Man, if we're looking short term, we're going to get distracted. And somebody, let me see, Matthew 6:31. I better read this. And this is Matthew 6:33 is one of my favorites. But 6:31. This is going to sound impossible. Melania, will you read verse 31?
Yes. Do not be the
anxious.
Anxious, saying, what shall I eat? What shall we drink? Or wherewith shall we be arrayed?
Verse 32.
For all these things the nations seek after, for your heavenly Father knoweth ye are needing all these things.
Verse 33, I'll read. Up to 32 is talking about all the cares of our world. What concerns our mortgage payments, our friendships, or whatever. You fill the blank. What is it that you really, really, really want? What do you want? all of us want something. That's good, as long as it's not lustful or wicked. And then Yahweh goes, how do you get it? Jesus Christ says, don't chase after him. Verse 33, how do you get those things? But be seeking first the kingdom and its righteousness, and all these will be added unto you. How do you get satisfaction? There's only one author of satisfaction in our life. It's Yahweh, through Christ. How many times do we think we're ready? As soon as I get that cheeseburger or that video game or that car or the house, then I'll be satisfied. Actually, a lot of times what we do is we look at the lack in our life, and as soon as that thing's fixed, well, then I'll be satisfied, right? Mm-hmm. I talked to my sister. My sister says, Aaron, you're single. You've been single for 7 years now, right?
Right.
Don't think that you're not going to be lonely once you get married. What are you talking about? No. And she goes, married people get lonely too. I thought that as soon as I got something, well, then my... No, Yahweh will fill us up. He will give us satisfaction. He's the only one to do it. Then I hear verse 34. Now, this seems impossible. Mm-hmm. Esther, would you read 34?
Mm-hmm. Do not be anxious for the morrow, for the morrow be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is evil, therefore.
When you're worried about tomorrow, well, what's the second to the last word, Elijah?
Evil.
You mean when I'm worried about tomorrow, I'm possibly being
evil?
If I'm worried about it, now Yahweh wants us to be good stewards. He doesn't want us to become an idolatrous, but he's going to go, who worries about tomorrow? Him. He takes care of the future. We think that if we just knew the future, how it would work out, well, then it'd be a lot easier. Just look at the stories. You don't want to know the future.
Yeah.
Trust me. What you do want to know is that he will give you the desires of your heart. What you do want to know is Philippians 4:19, if you sow, my God shall supply all your needs according to riches and glory. The context is if you're doing your job. Are you doing your job? All of your needs according to his riches and glory. We're sitting in my basement. My buddy called it the man cave. I go, no, this is the faith trophy room. I got a sailfish. I got two deer heads. I got all this stuff that my father gave to me because I use this word. I'm not a good fisherman. I'm not a good hunter. But it was a desire in my heart. He gave it to me. And one of the reasons why I want to give him stuff is I want to brag what he did in my life. What do you want? What are your trophies? All of your needs according to his riches and glory. Well, then how are we going to get it? Just give Yahweh back this day. Honor your mother and your father. Love your neighbor as yourself. Are you memorizing the scripture? Are you reading the scripture? Every time we read the word, we're feeding a son. Have you ever seen somebody who didn't take care of their pets? They didn't feed it? Right? Jesus Christ is inside us. And if we're not feeding him the word by reading it, and we're just feeding the old man by watching TV or the lust of the flesh, he'd watch and he's going to go, man, I gave you my son and you're not even feeding him? Okay, well then. But the idea is as soon as you start feeding him, the peace will start exploding. It'll start growing. The peace that passes understanding. And then he'll give you the confirmation. He's going to go. And then if you have that peace, you're not worried about tomorrow anyways, right? If you have that kind of peace, that peace, then it doesn't matter. And that's what I believe Joseph had. I believe Joseph had a peace. How did Joseph get through that? He had fellowship with Yahweh. And he would have sat there and gone, golly, did you see what they did to me? As he's sitting at the bottom of a well not drinking. I didn't do anything. I got stuff I want to do. I wanted to get married. I think he was about 17 years old. I want to do things. I want to take care of my dad. He's old. I love my dad. Here's my mom and this other stuff. He's sitting at the bottom of the well going, all of us have been there. But then what did he remember? Who's watching? Wait a minute. You're watching, right? Okay, you got this, right? Okay, you'll make up for it. Did I do anything wrong? And if we do something wrong, 1 John 1:9, faithful and just as you forgive us and absolve us of all unrighteousness and we confess our sins, right? Mm-hmm. And here Joseph, he had that kind of peace. And that's what we need, peace. Philippians 4:6, page 204. Now I'm watching Deja Vu and we're looking at this whole movie and I really like Denzel Washington. I love Inception's another really good one. I haven't watched that in a while. so I can't really endorse it from a Christian perspective. There's some other one that can would be Source Code, The Edge of Tomorrow, but that's not necessarily a good Christian one. But here's something that, where they see the future in the movie. And the reader gets to see the future, and then you go, look how important obedience is. Especially with The Edge of Tomorrow. Turn here, duck here, stay in here, and then they're able to do it, like a video game almost. And we look at that, and we look at these things with the futuristic movies, and we feed on it, going, how important is it in Source Code, or in Deja Vu, to do everything, little thing right? Was it worth it? Absolutely. So we can take those things and look at Joseph, and then we feed ourselves. Just be obedient, be in fellowship. Philippians 4, 6, would somebody read that?
I will. For nothing be anxious, but in everything by a prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your petitions be made known to Yahweh.
And verse 7?
And the peace of Yahweh, which risen above every mind, shall guard you, your hearts. And through in Christ Jesus.
Your thoughts in Christ Jesus. And it starts off with Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again,
I
will say rejoice. And that's what I believe Joseph did in the bottom of the well.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard the story that sometimes you're going through a bad time, but as long as you got really good company, it's not so bad? Your car breaks down in the middle of nowhere, lay over in Zurich with my brother. What are we going to do? You just got to call Canadian Air. How do I call Canadian Air? I don't even speak the language. Didn't have phones there. So we were stranded. Well, they've got good company. But anyways, rejoice. Do you have good company? Absolutely. Who are you surrounded with? There's messengers. Our Father's watching this. You got to go. Sometimes this is just really good writing. And then after we rejoice, let be considerate. Is it easy to be considerate when you're not getting what you want? No. Does it require faith? Yes. For nothing, be anxious. Why would we be anxious? Because you're thinking about tomorrow. You're thinking about tomorrow again. That's not your job. You're possibly sitting. Think about today. What am I supposed to be thinking about today? It says Colossians 5:15. He died for us so that we would what? Live for him. Is he talking about living tomorrow? No. I heard a poem. He goes, yesterday is gone. Tomorrow is uncertain. All I have to give you is what I have. And that's today. And that's all he asks us to give. That's all we got. Anyways. Philippians chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 10. And his name, here's going to show about what happened. Our Lord and our Savior, our example, is not our brothers and our sisters. It's not a pastor or a preacher. It's not Kenneth Copeland or Joyce Myers. Our example is who? Yeah, that's our example. And until we are like him, that's what the Apostle Paul, or Yahweh through the Apostle Paul, said, I want to know Christ and the fellowship of his suffering. I want to know him. And because of the Apostle Paul comparing himself to Christ, look what he's able to do. If you compare yourself to Christ, what will you be able to do? Especially when you remember you were the nails of the living God. He's inside you. He goes, compare yourself with me. Well, how can I compare me? How can Lisette compare herself to Christ? And Christ goes, I got your back. I'm inside you. And then Matthew 11:22 says, have the faith of God. How do you have the faith of God? That's not literal. It's translational change. That's not literal. Who told you to have the faith of God? God! The creator of the universe told his children to have his kind of faith. Now, if a man told you to have the faith of God, well, gee, whatever, you know, you're nutso. But when the creator of the universe, who created all these things, told us to have my kind of faith, all right. And that's what Jesus Christ said when he cursed a fig tree. And that's where the healing, laying down on a dead body three times for the prophet, that's the faith of God. What does that mean? Is that if it doesn't work out the first time, if you have the faith of God or Yahweh, do you quit? Nah, I didn't have a choice. You're going to do this. Verse 10. And so here's the conclusion. In order that in every name, Yehoshua, or Jesus, every knee might bow. Of beings in heaven and on earth and underground, and every tongue might openly confess that Yehoshua Mashiach is Lord, unto the glory of Yahweh the Father. That is the conclusion of your life. We're going to meet Jesus Christ, Yehoshua Mashiach. And it could be tomorrow. Does anybody know when we're going to go to sleep? Mm-hmm. If I get run over by a truck or something, God forbid, struck by lightning? I don't know when I'm going to meet the boss. He can come back right now, right? Mm-hmm. Do you know when you're going to meet him? What we should be doing is like an undercover boss is preparing yourself and you're going, man, you're going to get to meet him. It's going to be great. Turn to 1 Corinthians 3:15. 3:13. Come on. 167. And when we meet him, it says that the Christians, our salvation is through grace. And so what's the point of this life? Well, just eat, drink, and be merry. Romans 6 talks about the wages of sin is death. Going to go, don't kill yourself. And Romans 6 explains that. Okay, my name is written in the book of life. Okay, what's my job now? Your job is you work for the boss, make him happy. And then it says, verse 13, each one's work shall be made manifest. For the day will make it plain, because by fire it will be revealed, and each one's work of what sort it is, the fire itself will prove. If anyone's work shall abide, which he built, a reward shall he receive. If anyone's work shall be burnt up, he shall suffer loss, but shall himself be saved through, thus as through fire. Know ye not that you are the shrine of the naos of Yahweh? But it's just a neat thing to go, we're going to get to meet him, and we're going to get to watch the movie. And the neat thing is that the first time you meet Jesus Christ is going to be the unedited version. How many here likes edited movies? I do. I don't want to watch a whole movie. How many of us like the edited video or home videos? Yeah, I don't. Well, the first time we meet Jesus Christ is going to be the unedited version. Mm-hmm. He'll say, I wasn't expecting a reward. I don't know what I was thinking there, boss. He goes, we'll suffer some loss. But they will go through it. And so the neat thing is, when you play football or something, you watch film. He went through the film. What'd you do here? I messed up. Okay, no promotion with that one. But if we do that, that's the only future we should really be thinking about when Christ comes back, mm-hmm. and then we're going to be rewarded for all these things. So if you suffer loss, if you lose family members, if you gain things, if you lose things, the objective is. And so that's real important because Solomon. Fell, and King Saul fell also, right? And so the things in this world just distracted them. They were not thinking about meeting Jesus Christ when they fell. So our objective is each day remind each other, there's no rewards for this, there's no rewards for that. And one thing that's been going through my head is, Aaron, there's no rewards for being lazy. I don't like that word lazy. It keeps popping up through my head because maybe I'm being lazy and not picking up something. But every act of obedience, we will be rewarded. And then 9:24... 1 Corinthians 9. We're going to meet him. Do you think Moses, where's King David right now? What did it say in Acts 2? He's dead, he's asleep, he's dust. It said that in Genesis. For dust you are, and dust you are. You're turned back into dust, Adam. Well, for how long? Until the resurrection. And so people go to sleep until the resurrection, then the dust will wake up. And so he'd say, okay, do you think Moses is going to be excited to watch this video? And then to find out, oh, good, I'm glad that every little mistake Moses did isn't in here, is it? Right? You know, man, people just worry about a lot of the good stuff. That's great. I forgot people were even watching. You ever see that when somebody's filming? Well, man, I didn't know any people were watching. Joseph's going to be there. He's going to see his. You're going to be there. Your mom's going to be there. And the point is that sometimes when we're pursuing our ministry, it starts separating us from the sheep, from the other people. We're going to go, I don't like that. Dude, I want to keep everybody with us. We're going to go, wait a minute. If you're thinking about going before Jesus Christ, they're not going to be there. In high school, I had a real problem with being popular. I was kind of good at it, which was good, but it was also really bad. And so I'd have a group of people, and we would walk around and we'd be cool, is what we thought, right? And we'd act cool. And then during the lessons and stuff, was I paying attention? No, I was acting cool with my buddies. We're sitting there acting cool. But guess what happened when we took tests? My buddies weren't there. And my buddies, a lot of my friends who were acting cool, they might have an excuse, a lot of them didn't have fathers. But I had to go home to my mom and my dad. What am I going to do with that demon? Oh my goodness. And what did I learn? Get away from those guys. They're not helping you with your grace. That's fine. And start separating yourself. So as Christians will do the same thing. Well, why aren't other people doing it? Start thinking about your grades are going to be, where you're going to be graded. And then 9:24 through 26. Just somebody read that for me.
Worry not. They who in a race course run, all indeed run. But one receiveth the prize. So be running that ye may lay hold. That every man who striveth in the games in all things useth self-control. They indeed then that a corruptible crown they may receive, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so am running as not uncertainly, so am boxing as not thrashing air, but am beating my body under and leading it captive, lest by any means unto others, having proclaimed this contest, I myself should be rejected.
Beating your body. For Christians, our worst enemy is usually our own flesh.
Yeah.
I want to sleep. Oh, I just need some sleep. I just need some cheeseburgers or whatever. You fill the blank. Husbands and wives. You're not going to be married in paradise. Mm-hmm. If your whole world revolves around your spouse, they're not going to be there with your grades. Your family members aren't going to be there. I'm single. Lisette's single. We're joking around one time. Like, spend all. If we were chasing after a spouse and then Christ came back, we'd be disappointed. Oh, you didn't get married. I don't know. You didn't get married at all. We're not going to be married in paradise. Are we?
No.
We're just like the messengers. So where's our reward? Strengthen it up. It says in Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these will be added unto you. And he'll take care of you. And you go, well, what if my wife's or my husband's not coming along? He'll take care of them. You take care of you. He'll take care of them. That's all. Well, I can't. He'll do it. Do you want to know the future? No, I don't want to know the future. But I know who holds the future. And I know that what you sow, you will reap. And if I've sown something that is wicked, then I can get down on my hands and knees and go, I don't want to reap that. I don't want to reap that. And faithful and just is he to forgive us so we can repent. But then otherwise, run a race in a way in which to win. And remember, everybody's going to need to watch our videos. And I would really encourage people to watch a movie like, there's Source Code's a really good one. Frequency is another real good one. Here's like knowing the future, time travel. I mean, look at this stuff. Or any really good movie, you'll see where the hero's down and he's not going to get back up, right? And you get a little stressed out watching that, right? But then you learn that's just good writing. And then you go, I know the end of the movie. Well, I have that good idea at the end of the movie. You know, Iron Man can't die this early, right? Every once in a while you watch a crummy movie where the hero dies right in the middle. And I'm never watching that again. Who wrote that and who directed it? Don't do that one again. Well, Yahweh's a good writer. He's a good director. So you're going to lose things. You're going to lose family members and stuff. But you're going to say, if I'm being obedient, this is just good writing. And nothing can be taken that Yahweh can't restore.
Amen.
And look how he restored Joseph's life. Did he get his family back?
Yes.
He got his family back. He saved all their lives. And they inherited the land of Goshen. Okay.